I want to bring in somebody who fights a great deal of the good fight to talk about these issues and more, who has fought a great deal trying to make sure that the rules don't change depending upon who you are demographically and, of course, who you are in your income and who you are in relation to the, you know, Wall Street and who you are in relation to the quote-unquote powers that be. For those who are consistently vulnerable to abuses of power and the patterns that are there. If you may realize that not long ago, the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, sued the New York Police Department. She called the rough treatment of protesters against racial injustice part of a long-running pattern of abuse, part of what was the illustrative reaction for the peaceful protests. I'm not talking about the hijacking looters and those who used the protest and the killing of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and Elijah McClain and so many others as a pretextual reason to commit crimes. I'm not talking about them. I don't want to have them part of the conversation when I talk about the peaceful protest to injustice and abuses of power. But every part of that conversation, every part of the protest was as much about, obviously, the racial dynamics as it was about those who were supposed to protect being able to exploit and have no accountability. It's all the same theme and umbrella, right back to our first guest of the day today. That how can accountability not be the thread that binds from Wall Street to impeachment to the police? I'm joined now by Richard C. Bell, who is a New York City voting rights and civil rights and liability trial attorney and author of Voting, The Ultimate Act of Resistance. You've seen him on ABC News and CNBC and CBS News and more. You can follow him on Twitter as well at 8677-CALL-LAW. And he's here now to talk about a little bit of the reform movements that are happening in the police context as well. Richard, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Laura, and congratulations on your new show. It's so nice to be invited.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to have a conversation with you, and thank you for that. You know, what's happening in New York right now? People might not realize what's going on with the NYPD and the AG out there. What's happening?
Yeah, so if it wasn't for this news cycle, this would be a bigger national story.
Yeah.
So what happened is about 3 weeks ago, Letitia James, our attorney general, and for anybody that doesn't know Letitia James, she does not play. She fears no one. So for the first time in history, according to her press release, a state attorney general has sued a police department. And she claimed that the New York City Police Department has had a systemic pattern of excessive force and false arrests against New Yorkers during peaceful protests. Like you said, these are peaceful protests. So she went to federal court and she has asked the federal court to have an injunction, which in this case would mean declaring that the pattern and practices that the police are using during these peaceful protests are unlawful, unconstitutional, that they should be prohibited from using them, and that a monitor should be appointed by the court to oversee that these tactics are not used again in the future against peaceful protesters.
And this is the first time this has happened, you said?
This is the first time, according to her, that an attorney general has sued a police department, a state attorney general.
Wow. And this is all stemming from, obviously, the pattern. But when is the timeline of this pattern? Just aware. Is this from what happened from the summer on? Or this is part of a larger conversation from even pre-2020?
Laura, it's 17 years. She cites back to the anti-war protests of 2003, the Republican convention of 2004, the Occupy Wall Street in 2011, and of course the Black Lives Matter protests of 2020. So this is a long pattern of practice.
You know, it's crazy. I haven't heard the phrase Occupy Wall Street in about two or three years. And now today, I've heard it like 50 times because of GameStop and discussions about populism movements. It's amazing how much it's come back into everyone's the fold right now. But tell me, you know, she's asking for these police reforms. So what would these reforms really do? Would they really make a difference? Tell me about the five areas she's been focusing on.
Sure. I think just for a little background so your audience can understand what went on. So I said peaceful protest. So she cites a couple examples. There's a gentleman, Andrew Smith. He's a peaceful protester in Brooklyn. A cop literally, without warning, pulls his COVID mask down, sprays pepper spray in his face, obviously burning him. And on a body cam footage, the cop is bragging to his fellow cop, "I took this guy's goggles and I ripped the S word off and I used it." And this man wasn't given any medical help. He wasn't even arrested or charged. He was doing nothing wrong. And this is how he was treated by the police. And they had a similar one in the Bronx, where there was an 8 p.m. curfew. This is all during the George Floyd protests. And the police did something called kettling. Kettling simply means it's a crowd control where you confine protesters with barricades in an area like a city block or a bridge so that you have control over that area. But what the police were doing in the Bronx was these peaceful protesters were surrounded on all sides. And all of a sudden, the police started pushing bicycles physically into them, crushing them together, hitting them with batons. The people were begging the cops, and this is in her complaint, "So let us go home. We'll comply with the curfew." Instead, the cops arrested 249 people in the Bronx. And do you know how many cases were dismissed by the DA? 249. They did nothing wrong, but this is how they were treated. So this is a pattern of practice that has to stop, because I think what people need to understand is that you have an absolute First Amendment right to peaceful protest. And peaceful protest is so American and so patriotic, it's in the very First Amendment, right? It's something we're all entitled to. So what we need to do is things like the attorney general just did, which is to have the court declare it unconstitutional and have this monitor. And a monitor, we have one in New York for 7 years on stop and frisk. The monitor is still there. It was appointed by the court. And they make sure that the stop and frisks of Black and Latino residents no longer goes on. It hasn't stopped completely, so the monitor is still there. So she wants a monitor to oversee it, to make sure that there are the changes made that need to be made, and specifically what kind of changes they need. Well, first of all, the training. As it came out, she had hearings and she did a report, and it came out that literally that the street cops at the protests were so poorly trained that they didn't know that you can't just kettle or confine these people and make unlawful arrests when these people are doing nothing wrong. They're allowed to protest. And their supervisors were giving them wrong information. There were legal advisors that were watching, and there were medics that were there, and they were arrested, which obviously they had ID. They shouldn't be arrested. They were there to observe and to give aid. They were also arrested because supervisors gave wrong information to the cops on the ground. So you have, number one, you have extremely poor training. You have supervisors that clearly were giving wrong kind of advice. You have a situation where the workable reforms, there's a lot of brilliant experts in police science and civil rights, and they have been talking about these reforms forever. And what it really comes down to is whether yesterday, today, and tomorrow, do we have politicians that have a spine to enact the laws to make it happen? Because what we have right now, do you know that Congress in 2020 passed the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act? It's a wonderful act. It was sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk. Hopefully it will get taken up again. It has great reforms about banning chokeholds and establishing a misconduct registry and dealing with qualified immunity and outlawing no-knock warrants. These are all things that will make a difference. We don't get to it because politicians don't have the spine to do it.
So now you've got an attorney general who is saying we're going to sort of force the hand of this conversation. How successful do you think she'll be?
Well, based on stop and frisk, because the city fought that tooth and nail, and a judge, I believe it was Judge Shino in the Eastern District, she had none of it because they won when that suit was brought. And that monitor, as I said, it's 7 years later, that monitor is still there. And I think the way she framed her complaint with all the specific incidents, and she put in pictures of these people that were brutalized, and she had a lot of testimony, I think she has a real shot at it, because based on these allegations, these things are clearly unconstitutional and unlawful. And I think a judge that cares about the Constitution and cares about the great tradition in New York, we're very proud of our tradition of big, peaceful protests. And I think a judge will be very receptive to it.
And what are the hurdles? I mean, NYPD, I can't imagine. I mean, this has got to create some sort of contentious relationship, right, between the AG and her and the office of the NYPD, right?
Yeah, this is what's great about New York. So our infighting is the greatest because Letitia James is a Democrat. Mayor de Blasio, who is named as a defendant here, is a Democrat. And she could care less. And the NYPD obviously opposes it and says this is terrible. Well, you know what's really terrible? It's terrible when you have a systemic pattern for 17 years and you don't teach your guys on the street what to do. That's terrible.
Well said. Well put. We'll see what happens. I'm sure we'll follow this story along and figure out what's going to happen. She sued the NYPD over the Floyd protest response, but goes back 17 years about what's going on. I will follow this story. Of course, all eyes remain on the New York Attorney General, as well as other state level prosecutors, as they're looking to figure out, well, what's she going to do about the outgoing administration, the one that's now in Mar-a-Lago? We'll see what happens there as well. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back after a quick break. You can follow along with Richard Bell at 877-CALL-LAW is his Twitter handle, or go to 877-CALL-LAW.com. Richard C. Bell, a attorney with so much experience, over 30 years of defending New Yorkers, has so many high-profile cases as well. Follow him along.